This week on Potlatch, the man who discovered Italy spoofs European explorers. For centuries, Western cultures believed that the New World was discovered by explorers from the Old World. These explorers and their descendants imposed their religion, customs, language, and laws on the aboriginal peoples they encountered. Further, the explorers from the Old World and not the original inhabitants took credit for the discovery. These explorers dismissed the aboriginal peoples as savage, uncivilized pagans. But what of the European countries? Who discovered them? And how did the discoverers treat the inhabitants? To find out how one explorer reacted to an aboriginal tribe in Europe, I placed a call to an Indian reservation in Nevada and talked to Adam Nordwall.
We had been involved for many years in San Francisco's reenactment of Columbus's alleged discovery of our country. And as Indian people, we always felt there was something very wrong with that whole attitude of a foreign country claiming discovery of our land after we've been here for tens of thousands of years. So I figured the first opportunity I got, I'm going to turn history around. I think it's only right and it's only proper for an American Indian to go lay claim of discovery of Italy. And on September 24th, 1973, this is exactly what I did. I flew to Rome with my beautiful wife, Bobby. We got off the airplane at the Rome airport and went to the edge of the runway, and I stuck a spear in the ground of Italy, and I said, in the name of the American Indian, I hereby proclaim discovery of this land called Italy. In this instance, I felt it was only proper that we tried to give the natives of that land as much right as possible, and that was the right to name their own country, to name their own people, rather than me simply to come along and give them a name like Anishinaabe or something else of the Chippewa nation. And I felt that I did not want to press our particular religious beliefs on them. I mean, they had their own pagan ways of doing things, and we would acknowledge this in order to try to maintain as much harmony in this transition from being an undiscovered nation to that of a discovered nation. They have their own kind of ways of worship, which are totally alien to that of the Native Americans. And it's simply a turnaround in history. After all, the people that inhabited Italy would call themselves Catholics. And anybody that did not believe in the Catholic way were called pagans, heathens, barbarians, or what have you. Even though we, too, as what they call pagans, we had a belief in the Great Spirit. And yet, we were called pagans and heathens and savages. So, I guess, in using their terms, if we don't believe as they do, or they don't believe as we do, that then we can have the right to call them heathen or savage or whatever we want to call them, because that's what they did to us. We are in the process of bringing civilization to that country. It's had its ups and downs from what I can understand of the Aboriginal lifestyle over there. They've been involved in many great turmoils and wars throughout its history, coming from the north or coming from the south, coming by water or land. They've always been in the midst of turmoil, and we wanted to help bring about our Indian way of living in harmony with your neighbors and in balance with nature itself, and this is something that they have not learned to do. I mean, it's a very polluted little nation. You don't dare drink the water. You don't even dare swim in the river that flows through Rome. So we want to bring about some of our cultural advantages to them, and so I talked about establishing a BIA for Italy. That's the Bureau of Italian Affairs. And at that time, I'd appointed Gina Lollobrigida as titular head of the BIA, and so that we could have a token Italian on board to help bring about these changes.
Adam Nordwall believes the Aborigines of Italy are not yet ready for self-government.
I think it's going to take some while. We don't want to push things too fast, because if we do, they'll probably undergo what is called cultural shock. And we want to bring about this transition in a smooth, orderly fashion so that they can begin to understand and appreciate the alternative lifestyle that we have to offer. And by this slow transition period, I think with Indian educators, Indian spiritual leaders, and medicine men coming to Italy, that we can bring them around to understand that there is another lifestyle that is superior to theirs. If all goes well with our plans, I plan to take a second voyage to this newly discovered land in order to reemphasize the fact that of discovery itself. And, of course, when I made the initial discovery, I did meet with their political leader, Giovanni Leone, the president of Italy, and I also had the opportunity to meet with their spiritual leader, His Holiness the Pope. Both instances, we exchange cordial greetings and acknowledge each other's existence. For His Holiness did say to me that he's read a great deal about the American Indian and that he knew what I was doing. And so in that sense, and I didn't feel it was necessary to sort of push our own particular spiritual or political beliefs upon him at that moment, since he was apparently aware of some of my activities up to that time.
I asked if Italians celebrate September 24th as Nordwall Day.
Not as yet, but I feel that if Columbus Day is going to be considered to be a national day in this country, if this is going to be a fact, then it should be a fact of Italy declaring Nordwall Day, or Discovery of Italy Day, and commemorate that day, September 24th, from here on out, as a historical event of great importance to them. But oftentimes, when people are newly discovered, they fail to recognize the importance of that discovery. As, after all, when Columbus came to our shores, the Indian people didn't give him any consideration as being the discoverer of our country. It was only the non-Indian peoples of other nations that accorded Columbus's discovery any kind of credibility, whatever. But the natives never did give him that consideration. So I have to look at it from that standpoint. As long as we did not acknowledge Columbus as the discoverer of our country, then I'm sure the natives of Italy will find it very difficult to come to accept my discovery of their country as valid.
From the reservation to the governmental school, well, they're going to educate me to the white man, cold and rude, and I am learning quickly, for I've learned to be ashamed. And I come when they call Billy, though I've got an Indian name. But there are drums beyond the mountain, Indian drums that you can't hear. There are drums beyond the mountain, and they're getting now when they think they've changed me, cut my hair to meet their needs, will they call me white or Indian, quarter blood or just half breed? Say, let me tell you, Mr. Teacher, who is going make me right in 600 years of fighting. Not one Indian has turned to white, and there are drums beyond the mountain, Indian drums that you can't hear. There are drums beyond the mountain, getting mighty near. Well, you thought that I knew nothing when you brought me here to school. Just another empty Indian, just America's first fool. But I can tell you stories that are burnt and dried and old, and in the shadow of their telling walks the thunder, brave and bold. And there are drums beyond the mountain, Indian drums that you can't hear. There are drums beyond the mountain, and they're getting mighty near. Why, there's Lone Pine and Sequoia, Handsome Lake and Sitting Bull. There goes Mangus, Colorado, with his sleeves so red and full. There goes Crazy Horse, the legend, and those who bit off Custer's soul. They are dead, but yet they're living with the great Geronimo. And there are drums beyond the mountain, Indian drums that you can't hear. There are drums beyond the mountain, and they're getting mighty near. Well, you may teach me this land's history, but we taught it to you first. We broke your hearts, we bent your journeys. Broken treaties left us cursed. Even now, you'd have to cheat us, even though you think us tame. In our losing, we found proudness. In your winning, you found shame. And there are drums beyond the mountain, Indian drums you cannot hear. There are drums beyond the mountain, and they're getting mighty.
We'll hear from Peter LaFarge a little later. Adam Nordwall has claimed Italy, but not all of Europe, yet.
We're going to make it a point to discover the Scandinavian countries of Leif Erikson, Erik the Red, and all of those earlier Norsemen that came across from the north. Now, of course, they were not credited with the discovery of America, even though they were here maybe 800, 1,000 years before Columbus. But, of course, at that time, they were also savages, heathens, and barbarians in the eyes of the Vatican. So their discovery was not recognized on the European continent. And that's why the dispute still rages today as to which of the white men that came over. And by the way, there was four before Columbus ever set foot over here. Erik the Red, and there was also a Zeno. There was somebody from Wales that was over here. But these men were not Catholics or Christians at that time. It was only Christian nations recognized by the Vatican that were given the right of discovery. Now, this is something that students of history will be able to acknowledge, but it is not known generally that the Vatican had proclaimed the doctrine of discovery back in the 13th century. And this doctrine gave the right of Christian people, of Christian nations, to go to lands inhabited by people they considered to be savages, heathens, and barbarians, and to lay claim of discovery of their lands. But in laying claim of discovery, they were also given titles to the land. And that's why you see the North and South American continent, absolutely cut up by Spain, by Portugal, by France, and all of these other foreign nations, because they came under the doctrine of discovery that was advanced by the Vatican in the 13th century.
On November 2nd of last year, a group of Australian Aborigines reportedly planted a flag on the White Cliffs of Dover to symbolize their discovery of England. I asked Nordwall if he recognizes this claim.
By all means. I think it is only right and proper that I do so. After all, as fellow discoverers, we must hang together. After all, we are, if their discovery is acknowledged by the Aborigines of England, I think I should recognize that discovery on the part of the Aborigines of Australia. I think that third world peoples should assert themselves, as I have done, I'm doing some pioneering work, yes, in my discovery of Italy. I think that the Aborigines follow up of the White Cliffs of Dover are an acknowledgement of the way that we can ultimately be able to discover all the nations of the world, as I intend to discover the Scandinavian countries. I also intend to discover rivers and mountain ranges and natural phenomena that exist in these various countries. For instance, Mississippi was allegedly discovered by Hernando de Soto. All right? And de Soto didn't know any of the Chippewa or Native American language. He went to the nearest Indian chief. He says, "Hey, chief, what's the name of this big water here?" And the chief says, "This is Mississippi, M-I-S-S-I-S-S," you know, that kind of thing. So de Soto dutifully recorded in his logbook on this day, 1540 or whatever it was, "I lay claim of discovery of the biggest river in North America called the Mississippi River." Now, this is what I intend to do in Europe, is to discover major rivers. Oh, and for instance, Henry Hudson, he goes up along the northeast coast, and he finds a big river, and he asked the local chief what the name of that river was, and the guy says, "Gongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongongong see, he says, I will simply call this river the Hudson River, as its discoverer. So maybe in time I will call some river, a river in Europe or someplace like that, the Nordwall River or Fortunate Eagle River. But in time I think I will consider naming something like Chief Joseph or Tecumseh. Tecumseh is a beautiful name. So I think perhaps we shall bring some of our name titles over there. But as to something about myself as an individual, I am a Chippewa Indian from the Red Lake Indian Reservation in northern Minnesota, members of the Pembina Band of Chippewa. At an early age, I was removed from the reservation and taken to an Indian boarding school at Pipestone, Minnesota. I went there for 10 years, and after graduating there, I was transferred to Haskell Indian Institute in Lawrence, Kansas. And by the way, quite a large number of Alaskan natives have attended Haskell Institute as well.
Thank you.
A group called XIT, The Crossing of Indian Tribes, William Bluehouse Johnson, Tom B., and Maclovio Suazo. I asked Nordwall if the Chippewas would buy Russia for $7,200,000 from any Alaska natives who discovered it.
I don't know whether I would pay that dollars figure, but I think it would only be proper, as since we're native dealing with fellow natives, that I should give trade goods like red cloth, beads, blankets, and the like. But I think we can strike up some kind of a bargain for that land across the water, certainly, and lay claim how many leagues to the east and how many leagues to the south and to the north in order to document that claims in the eyes of natives of Alaska, yes.
But Nordwall says he would not recognize any aboriginal claims of Europeans.
Because it would be sort of tantamount to what the United States government did in the 1850s in this country. They said that the Indians, or any people who own land, must record that land with the United States government. And failure to do so will simply mean that the land will be considered federal land. And so as a consequence, many of the aborigines of this country lost their lands to the United States government by default, simply because they did not recognize what the Great White Father in Washington, D.C. was up to. And so I think that we, the natives of North America, ought to pass a law or an ordinance among ourselves, and that would definitely include the natives of Alaska and of Canada. And we have an agreement that all nations or peoples of the world, or all peoples of the world that own land, must register their land with us. And failure to do so will mean that we will simply take possession of that land under our laws. I think if laws can be passed in that fashion that takes land without consideration of the rights of the inhabitants on it, that we, as the original inhabitants of this land, can pass similar laws for other peoples.
I asked Nordwall how he makes a living.
As a explorer and discoverer, the there's very little rewards at this time in terms of financial rewards or even in terms of land or resources since we have not really staked our claim to the wealth of the nations that I've discovered at this time. But in terms of how I secure my living on the reservation here at Stillwater, Nevada, I'm going to be a rock artist. And some people are confused by that statement in these times because they're confused by the musical world of rock. But I am truly a rock artist. I carve on rocks. Petroglyphs, pictographs, exploit scenes, some of the very ancient scenes of Indian life that were originally done on, let's say, a canvas winter counts or teepee liners or those sort of or exploit scenes. I'm going to reproduce these in rock, and they're going to be very beautiful things. I think there's going to be many collectors going to be interested in the work that I do, and I'm just reviving this ancient, it's one of man's oldest art forms. The reason it's been so long in its revival is people could not very well sell a cave with the petroglyphs on them, or a ton-ton boulder. And I found some beautiful slate out of Utah that lends itself to the carving, so now I can bring man's oldest art form right into your home again. Isn't that exciting?
If I could not be an Indian, but I could choose my clan, it's simple which I'd choose, sir, for I'd be in Ireland. Why, the way they fought the British several hundred years or more, that's the way that we fought Custer, why they're Indian to the core. It's hard lessons to the rulers when they hold a captive race. You cannot reach a man's heart while you're treading on his face. If I could not be an Indian, but I could choose my clan, it's simple which I'd choose, sir, for I'd be in Ireland. Take away a man's religion, give him a ball and chain. Tell him to do things your way, the results will be the same. Therefore we feel a friendship to our brothers or the sea. There's no difference in betwixt us, except our enemy. If I could not be an Indian, but I could choose my clan, it's simple which I'd choose, sir, for I'd be in Ireland.
A statement came out in the press that I was so impressed by the land and the people that I had discovered that I decided to give it back. And that came on the wire services in the United States. And I'd like to state publicly at this time, I did not make that statement. I was badly misquoted, if that be the case. And I do not and have not made any statement of giving the lands back to the Aborigines. I will make that kind of a statement when the Columbus's descendants or his European descendants make the same statement to the Native Americans. Then I can make a similar statement of giving the land back to the Aborigines of Italy.
That was Adam Nordwall, and this is Jeff Kennedy. Thanks for listening.
Potlatch came to you from KUAC in Fairbanks. The Corporation for Public Broadcasting gave some of the money to produce this program.